Hello, Roy here. I just wanted to let you know that you can listen to The Roy Green Show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with Prime. A lot going on. We've had the federal government, as you know, of this country saying it's going to do everything it can to bring the interpreters to Canada. We had three ministers, Mendocino, Garneau, and Sajjan, about a week and a half ago, delivering a news conference talking about the commitment of the federal government, about time, because for years we've been trying to persuade them to bring the interpreters and other Afghans who supported Canada in the NATO mission to this country. That fell on deaf ears. There wasn't anything coming back from Ottawa. My good friend Joe Warmington from the Toronto Sun, who's on the show last weekend, Joe got us all started on the issue of the interpreters more than 10 years ago after Joe visited in Afghanistan. But we've had a situation, as you probably know, you're following the news. On Wednesday, we found out that the federal government, which committed to bring the Afghan interpreters to this country as quickly as possible, had actually sent out questionnaires, forms. You know, when you deal with government, you get forms and threats. Each communication from the government ends with a threat, fines, jail, combination of. Each one. So in this case, with the interpreters and other Afghans who worked with Canada during the NATO mission, they got forms, questions, immigration forms. Answer this, tell us that, prove this, prove that. And then they had 72 hours to fill them out and get them back. Can you imagine trying to get that done in that period of time, not your first language, in that period of time in a war zone? Now, of course, the government is saying, well, it was a mistake. Yeah, it was a mistake. We're going to be talking to an interpreter who actually is outside of Afghanistan now. He's going to be joining us in a few minutes' time. But first, and we're so glad to have him back, Major General Gene Milner, who was Canada's last commanding officer in Afghanistan. He's heavily engaged in the effort to bring the interpreters and other Afghans who supported Canada's war effort to this country. General Milner, thank you very much for the time. I can't tell you how many emails I received. I should have counted them. How many emails I received, comments I received, when earlier in the week people found out what in fact had been done, that these massive numbers of forms, or forms with huge numbers of questions, have been sent to, or at least made available, to Afghans who wanted to come to this country. Did that take you by surprise?
Well, I have to admit, I really like to see the support coming from Canada because, as you mentioned, it was a totally unrealistic timeline. Too much bureaucracy in the forms that they've got to fill out. Some of these, not interpreters, but workers that we work with over in Afghanistan don't speak the language, so it just was not feasible. So the good thing is the government has changed. They realize that they can't meet that timeline. I think they're putting more assets in. They're getting local support to make sure that, forms of some kind. I don't know if they've changed the forms or not, but the bottom line is, again, is we need to speed this process up. The Americans have just pulled their first 200 out. And they started, obviously, before us, but we do need to get going. That was just an unrealistic task that they asked of the Afghans. But it has been sorted, and I think that there's a realization that, again, that that's been taken off. But I don't know exactly what the requirements are for the interpreters on the ground and others.
They are in very serious danger.
Absolutely. Absolutely, Roy. I mean, you hear it from the Americans because they've obviously got a lot of troops still, not a lot, but they've got about 1,000 troops on the ground. But, General Milley, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs, was stated a few days ago as saying that they're continue to take more and more districts. We know that the U.S. won't be in Afghanistan for much longer. And the Taliban are seizing that opportunity. So they've got momentum, and, they're going to go after interpreters. They're going to go after those that worked with the NATO countries, Canada, the U.S., the U.K., Australia. And so this definitely needs to happen quickly. I think it is. I'm hearing a lot of good planning. I think that we're probably not far behind the U.S., But again, I don't know the details of what they're demanding of those in theater. But again, we continue to talk about it, and we need to, because I think we're at the point now. You get them to a third party location, you bring them to Trenton somewhere, and we do vetting. We can do vetting right here in Canada. We can do that. We're probably not going to get it 100% right, but we could get it pretty close. Because we've got a lot of people that know people, and they'll tell us. You know, our fellow interpreters will tell us who's good, who's family, who's worked with us on the ground. They're not going to have the paperwork, the exact paperwork, and we know that. But yes, I think we're almost at the point where we get them on an airplane, bring them to somewhere, bring them to Trenton or somewhere, and we can do all that vetting here.
It's a life-saving mission.
Yes. Absolutely, Roy. I come back to it. We soldiered alongside these interpreters and many others, and they fought, they volunteered, and now the Taliban want them. They're on their list, as you well know. And you mentioned, one of the interpreters that we don't have touch with. I'm hoping. I don't have touch with them either. I'm hoping.
Yeah, you know who I'm talking about, General.
Oh, I do. I 100% know. And we do have to be careful. I mean, that I know the Taliban listen to these kind of networks, but the bottom line is that I believe he's on the move, and which is a good thing. But yes, I mean, they're being sought, they're being looked for, and we know what that persecution would mean. That the Taliban are ruthless killers. Who would ever want them as part of their country to rule? I will never understand that. They're just absolutely wicked, bad people. And I was happy to be participating with NATO to take them out. But yes, this has got to continue to move. It's got to happen fast. It's never fast enough for a soldier that was there for quite some time. And again, is passionate about bringing these interpreters and Afghans to Canada, to a safer location.
Yeah, you know, I hear from veterans who were, Canadian Forces veterans who were in Afghanistan, and they are distraught over this. And they send me emails saying, I'll go over there and try and get them out myself.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. A lot of us would love to do that. I mean, but it's in the hands. I know there's some excellent people on the ground. I know that the planning's being put into place. The devil's in the detail now, Roy, is that the getting the people sorted into a location, a quick vet, and get them onto airplanes. So the logistics, we're good at that. We're very good at that as a force. And combined with, Immigration Canada, the embassy personnel on the ground, there's no reason in the world why this can't be a slick operation to get them out. But yes, would absolutely really, really appreciate being a part of it, but understanding that we've got some very capable people on the ground doing that.
Well, that's good. That's good to know, General. And they need to put the forms aside just for a little while. The default position in Canada, because it's a bureaucracy, it's a department, this country's a department in my view, is to go for forms. Always go for the form. And this, we don't have the time. They don't have the time. We have to get them out of there.
Yeah, yeah. And I know what we're learning off the Americans. They seem to have moved quick with this first 200. So I think that the good thing is that the government has listened to us on this. They're cutting back, a lot of that bureaucracy that you talk to, because they do know that we do need to get these interpreters and our workers, our Afghan fellow comrades who fought alongside of us out of there now.
General Milner, thank you for joining us. Thanks for everything you're doing to get them out. I know it's very personally important to you.
Absolutely, Roy. There's a great team of veterans working alongside both the departments, and we're here to support, because we absolutely want this to happen quickly.
Yeah, and you have the support of the people of Canada, so that's a pretty good army.
That's outstanding. We're hearing support from everybody, and they understand it, which is a really good and gratifying to hear.
If you want to hear more, subscribe to The Roy Green Show on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever you find your favorites. And if you like what you hear, leave us a review and tell a friend. I'm Roy Green. Have a great weekend.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink.
All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone.
Like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.